I'm Eric Thiel. We've got more live music for you today. My guests in the JPR studios, the band Vesson. Welcome, you guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It has been a long time since you have been in Ashland. It was part of the One World concert series back in the day. Mikael Marin, Olaf Johansson, Roger Tolroth.
Yes, yes. Very good.
I got it. That is as good as I will do. I guarantee it.
You did fine.
Going back, you guys have been together for a very long time now, almost 25 years. How did the three of you meet? Did you all come together at the same event, or did it kind of grow organically?
We all come from the same area in the part of Sweden called Uppland, the western part, northwestern part. And so we had bumped into each other within the traditional music scene, you could say. But from there to the creation of the band, some interesting happenings occurred. Mikael and I, we had played quite a lot together as a duo, and we even did a recording.
Yes.
85.
85.
Yeah, 85. And we both knew Roger, mostly as a fiddle player.
Yeah, I remember Mikael as a very young kid because I sort of spotted this potential girlfriend, a very good-looking fiddler from a city called Sala that I sort of was aiming for. And he was the little guy that she played with on occasion, a really annoying little kid that came and played. And he didn't understand why, you know, he was standing outside the room.
I didn't know sometimes. What you wanted.
No.
Didn't sense that.
He didn't know my intentions.
I want to play.
So that's my first encounter with Mika. Olof, he played with a relative of mine, Kurt Tallroth, and which sort of was your teacher, right?
Yeah. And we all bumped into each other like that in different folk music environments in the that local area. But then the kind of ignition for the band, it was we were on a festival in a town in Norway, in the mountains. It's a winter festival, and it was a friend of ours who have managed to find this house that we could rent. So it was full of crazy fiddlers from Sweden and Denmark, this house. And for some reason, there was a 12-string guitar in the house, and I suggested to Roger, hey, should we try to play nickel harpa and 12-string guitar? And he said, no, I'm going to have a shower.
I was in the line to take a shower, yes.
But it was occupied. So he came back and we started to play, and people sat down and listened, and also a friend of ours who said, this is the best I've heard. If no one puts this out on a recording, I will start a record company.
Really?
Yeah. So he sat down and listened again, and then we finished and went home, and after a couple of months he called me and said, has anyone contacted you about recording? And I said, no. But then I'm going to start a record company.
Wow.
So he did.
Yeah. So this was the first CD he recorded. And the name of that CD was Vesson, with this is interesting for radio listeners now, with a picture of this instrument, like a face.
And we'll have pictures of all three of them in Vesson up on our Facebook page a little bit later on this afternoon. And we'll talk more about specifically the instrument that you are holding, the nickel harpa, in just a minute.
Yeah, but with this, it's like a portrait with a face. And that, with together with the name Vesson, which means spirit, being, creature, something like that. People started to ask us to come. We want Vesson to come and play. So people gave us the name.
Ah. So you could actually say that, I mean, we didn't really actively form a band. We became a band because of this project that was more or less coincidence, you know, in a way. Mm. In some ways not, but... And also the name of the band was yeah. It was named by the album and people calling us.
Gotcha. So. A lot of our listeners are probably not all that familiar with Swedish folk music. I mean, they've heard your songs on the air here. What are the different characteristics of Swedish folk music, and how are they similar or different from American folk tradition?
It's different. We have the Polska, for example, which is very common in our tradition, and it comes in various forms in Sweden, different dialects all over the country.
And that's it's a dance, correct?
It's a dance, yeah, and this, the music that we play is connected to the dance very much. But if it's compared to American music, I think we're very much into form the melody in a way. We're very close to the melody, so to speak, to phrase it in a certain way and bow it in a certain way.
Well, and you can, if I may add, you could say that a lot of the traditional music are connected to it's either ceremonial music or dance music, or music that had a certain purpose. Mm. I mean, traditionally, and then within the heritage and within the tradition, it's also for a fiddler or any instrumental player to interpret the music in a very personal way from the start. So you're encouraged to make your own way of playing very early.
Mm. Some of these traditions go back hundreds and hundreds of years. Mm. Do the borders, the Scandinavian borders, matter much when it comes to the folk origins?
No, it's like the spoken language, you know. People who live in the western part of Sweden, close to the Norwegian border, they speak the same language as the people who live, you know, 200 meters into Norway.
Yeah.
And it's been the same country, Norway and Sweden, for periods. And Finland and Sweden has been the same country for periods as well.
And so the musical dialect is the same. It's regional as opposed to...
Yeah, it's more regional or kind of time has to do with different... how popular different things have been different times. And this stuck here and that stuck in this part and so on.
Yeah, but you say that water combined, and I mean music traveled easier over water than over land back in those days. Mm. And the valleys is probably, I mean, the high mountains separated and became more isolated also in the traditional cultural sense. So that the oldest music, the oldest way of playing and speaking is probably up in the deep valleys, you know, where it was hard to take yourself.
Vesson are my guests live in the studio here at Jefferson Public Radio. Their newest album, number 15, right, is called Mindset. Can we hear some music? What do you want to play first?
Should we start with Krudden?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do that.
This is a Polska I composed for a friend of mine, and he is a fiddle player, and he is a painter. He paints buildings and stuff. And I gave this to him when he turned 40, and I wanted to do it kind of in the same style. He is from a family of fiddlers, many fiddlers, and many famous fiddlers. So I wanted to do it kind of in the same style as they
and
played.
And his name is Robert Larsson.
Thank you.
That's Vesson live in the studio here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. Also online, ijpr.org. Their newest album is called Mindset. Guys, how much of your music is traditional, strictly traditional, and how much is, would you say, contemporary?
Oh, that's a hard question.
That's, I think we need to define words here.
Yes.
Yeah.
What do you mean with traditional?
Well, how much of your music comes from a traditional songbook and how much is much more modernized or would be hard to recognize to a traditionalist?
Right. You can say that the playing, the way we're playing, ornamenting and bowing and picking and whatever is in a traditional style. So I would say that most traditionalists would recognize the music as a sort of traditional related music. But we play the mostly original music in the sense that we compose it ourselves and arrange it the way we do.
Yeah.
But this tune, for example, that we just play, that's newly composed, but it's very much in the style of if I would have said, oh, I picked this up from a recording after Vikstalassa, no one would have doubted that.
Mm. So it's a matter of knowing the style and what's used and listening. We have been listening to older people playing it, you mm-hmm. know, and older recordings. But
I think we have tunes that's more contemporary that wouldn't pass as traditional.
Oh yes,
of course,
wouldn't pass the test.
Now.
How much of your music is written as opposed to improvised?
Well, we don't write music down so
ever?
Much. No, it's just you know, we have someone makes a melody. And then we start playing around with it, and most of the arrangements are more or less improvised.
Yeah, and they keep changing. So now we're in the process, sort of post record, mm-hmm. post recording, but they keep developing. Not so much in form because we've decided that this should be the form, and then. But I sort of fool around with the chords and the bass lines and the rhythms, and so do you. Mm-hmm. So the melody is also changing in how it's been played.
And also I would say the composing part, I think we all, our method is like a kind of improvisation. You kind of, you just start playing and you try things out and it's like a slow kind of improvisation of creating the tune.
Mm. Over the years, as you have toured the States and have had chances to be on stages with American traditional string music musicians, you've done a very nice job of blending your sound with that of many other different styles. Was that a hard transition to make with the different languages between Swedish style melodies and American melodies?
I think it's easy to blend when you when you know your own tradition and your own way to play. When you're secure in a way, then it's much easier to
and also blend. Because we are used to vary it all the time. We don't play the same thing over and over again. With some exceptions, but that's a musical idea then, you know. But but it's in most cases we're still in a. I feel like, you know, I'm in on a sandbox level, like a 5-6 year old playing around with the tools I have, you know.
Yeah.
Even still, after all these years.
Yeah. Huh. And that's what's drives me too. You know, that's the joy of it. It's called play music, so why not play?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know.
And you guys exude so much joy even here in the studio when you're playing. I mean, there's a smile on each of your faces. You're shooting glances at one another.
And why would we do that on radio? You know?
Oh, I didn't think about that.
And that's a part of Bess, and as I see it, that we're always striving, all three of us are striving to throw in something, a little joke or something surprising, and the best moments is when you manage to surprise yourself even in your playing, and because then you can be sure the other ones are surprised, and then smiles appear and music takes off.
Like somebody said last night, he said, it looks like you and Mikael has an ongoing joke, you know, that you want, you know, share, but you have that look of a punchline coming up.
And 25 years of setup.
Yeah.
Right. Olaf, you mentioned the nickel harper earlier, and I want to talk a little bit about this instrument because it is, especially for American audiences, a fairly unusual thing to see. Describe what it is that you are playing, how you play it, its history, tradition.
It's a long, stretched out fiddle, you could say, with a wide neck, and on the neck there's a wooden set of keys that I'm fingering with my left hand, and on each key there's a peg stopping the string, fretting the string from the side, giving the string a higher pitch.
So the American folk tradition has the, what is it called, the auto harp, where you would sort of push keys and they would make chords. Yeah, does it work similar?
No, that one is damping the strings that shouldn't sound.
Okay.
While when I'm pressing one of these buttons, I'm shortening the string. It's like instead of pressing the string to a fret, I bring a fret to the string.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And I have a short bow, and I play on this nickel harp, I play on three strings, but then there's another 12 strings that are kind of, they're called sympathetic strings, and they agree with the notes that are being played and giving a spacey sound. They're also softening the sound a lot. If you would take them off, it would be
a terrible,
terrible experience for everybody.
Fully chromatic instrument? Does it play in specific keys?
Yeah, but that's has more to do with the drone I choose.
Okay.
On this one, this is a drone instrument, so I play melody and drone.
But this is
it's even over. Beyond chromatism. Yeah. It's even with micro intervals in between some notes.
Hmm. And true, you were the first world champion of nickel harpa?
Yes.
What year was that?
That was the same year as Vasen started.
Okay. How many people play it now? Do you have a sense? Is it a fairly common folk instrument in Sweden? Or?
Yes, it is. It's maybe so you have 2,000-3,000 players in Sweden.
So there are like nickel harpa camps?
Yeah.
Like the way we have fiddle camps here in the States?
Yeah, and nickel harpa festivals.
And I would imagine, in reading on this, it would seem as if this has been nominated the official instrument of Sweden. It's on the banknote, right?
Yeah.
The 50 banknote?
Right. That's right.
Why do you choose to play that?
I think it looks cool.
it's got quite a different sound from the other.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
more harsh and sort of distorted, almost.
The truth why I picked this, I started on the most common, the three-rode nickel harpa, but then I worked on a nickel harpa exhibition, like a museum, a summer when I was young, and I had all kinds of all different nickel harpas that ever existed, and I was so ambitious, so I tuned one of each and played for the people who came there. And the one that I really liked of all the different historical ones was this one, because so much of the traditional music I realized was played on this one originally. And so I got to borrow one, an old one from the 1700s, and then they wanted it back, the people who owned it, and then I ordered this one. And after that, it's become more popular. So many young nickel harpa players have picked up this old style of nickel harpa.
With Olaf Johansson posters on their wall.
Yes.
Maybe. Yeah,
probably.
Vesson are my guests.
Justin Bieber.
Vesson are my guests live in the studio here at Jefferson Public Radio. Their newest album is called Mindset. Can we hear another tune?
Sure. Yeah.
What do you want to play next?
Let's play, should we do a polska again?
Yeah. No, Byxa.
All right. Let's do a march/polka or polkette.
Thank you.
That is Vezin live here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio and online, ijpr.org. That is the tune that kicks off the new album Mindset, right?
Right.
I'm going to leave it to you to pronounce all three of the names.
Byxen, Fisen, och Blåsen.
I knew it was more difficult than I thought. Say it one more time.
Byxen, Fisen, och Blåsen.
And they are who? Who are those three?
That's Byxen.
Yes. Oh. It's actually my granddad who named me and two of my brothers when we came up to his cottage up in the forest. They lived without the electricity and it was kind of, yeah, far out for many reasons. But he gave the name. He had a little saying in Swedish.
It's like a rhyme.
It's a rhyme. It goes like this. Tre vise männen bak åsen, byxen, fisen, och blåsen. And that is the three wise men from the Bible. You know, three wise men
behind the ridge.
Yeah. And byxen, fisen, och blåsen.
Roger, you have become known for a slightly alternate tuning that you use on your guitar.
Yes.
What have you done and what does it accomplish for you?
Well, I started in 91. I think after a trip to Turkey, I came home with a oud, a Turkish lute, and a fretless lute, and with a little slip note saying a Turkish tuning. I tried that. It didn't make any sense. So I started to experiment with the tuning for this instrument and came up with just two notes. So it comes from that, and then I transferred it over to the 12-string guitar. So my tuning is on the 0 fret. It's from the treble side. It's a D-A-D-A-D-A tuning. And that takes restringing the instrument, which is my lowest note is a contra A on the 0 fret.
So you've essentially lowered the range of the instrument.
Yeah, you can say my sixth string is actually on fifth position. So I added a bass string in order to get the bass lines for this music and also to have the open strings that came from my fiddle playing. I sort of wanted to bring over some of the technique from the fiddling over to the guitar.
They ring better that way?
Yeah. An open string is easier to, I mean, it's a lazy thing. You know, you liberate your left hand more for melody playing and bass line playing. Mm.
Is it true you had a street named after you? Or part of a street? Is that the story?
It's a street in Bloomington, Indiana, called Vezin Street. But the truth is, I think it only exists during the festival, the Lotus Festival. They rename the street.
I see.
So it's changing.
Don't tell anyone.
No.
I know you guys have had to live with this moniker now for quite some time, and I don't know who coined it. You might not even know who coined it. But at some point, some reviewer somewhere decided to call you guys the best band in the world. And you know, obviously, you are incredibly talented. Who do you listen to with amazement?
Well, I listen to good music from any genre. So there's a lot of inspirational things in both classical music, in jazz and pop music and bluegrass music that we sort of quite recently came into that way of playing. So there's a lot of fantastic musician and music. I can't even... I mean, Crooked Still, for example, is a great band. That was a great inspiration to hear them the first time for me.
Yeah, I tend to listen to bands I've heard live and met on festivals. Mm. And Chris Thiele and the Punch Brothers, for example, that was something that really struck me when I heard them. Wow.
Yeah.
I've thought about it because this question is coming up. But I think I listen... mainly to really old fiddlers.
Yeah.
like old recordings, that gives me the most pleasure in a way. And also, I mean, obscure music from other genres.
Do you listen to that kind of music for pure melodies, or are you listening for a specific technique?
I think it's not the melody, it's the way how they
express.
They express themselves. Oh. I can feel the
experience
in the, I can really enjoy that. Mm. Yeah.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, you guys are coming up on 25 years as a band. You have recorded with Daryl Anger, Mike Marshall. You've recorded with the Irish group Dervish. What is the next challenge for Vesson?
I think it's traveling to the moon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be the best band on the moon as well. Yes. Nobody will hear anything, though.
No. Vesson are my guests live in the JPR studios here on the Rhythm and News Service. Their latest album is called Mindset. Do you have time to go out with one more tune?
Oh, yes.
What are you going to play for us?
There's a polska that Olof composed and dedicated to an Irish fiddler who plays in Dervish, by the way, that you mentioned.
Thank you.
That is Vezin live in the studios of Jefferson Public Radio. Their new album is called Mindset. Roger Tolrot, Olaf Johansson, Mikael Marin, thank you for being my guest.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure. Thank you.